Thank you so much, Rachel. Mount Everest, named after Sir George Everest, a British surveyor general of India. It's about 60 million years old. And while many try to summit, at least 142 have died trying. The main cause of death for those who try? Avalanches. Among those who have attempted to scale the 29,028 feet, the ancestor of comedian, actor, and author Chris Elliott. Or at least that's the premise of the book, anyway.
That's right. My great uncle, Percy Brackett Elliott. Who I'm pretty certain was the first person to summit Mount Everest.
You're pretty certain.
Yeah.
Well, pretty darn sure.
You can't really prove it unless you go there. That makes it difficult.
Exactly. I get his diary in the mail anonymously, and I decide, okay, I'm going to retrace his footsteps and climb Mount Everest and prove he was the first person to the summit. You know, not this Sir Edmund Hillary guy that everyone goes gaga over when you mention his name.
Now you decide
not to see everyone going gaga over him.
By the way, it's not politically correct to just mention Sir Edmund Hillary.
That's right. Well, there was a number of other people as well. Tenzing Norgay.
You got to mention Tenzing Norgay.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
But in your book, you choose not to go alone.
I don't. Well, you know, it's expensive to climb Mount Everest these days because, you know, thanks to John Krakauer, because he made it sound so appealing in his book. So, you know, it's kind of a tourist mecca there now. So I have to get a bunch of my rich celebrities to join me.
In fact, there's one here. It says, I first met Lauren, or mm-hmm. Betty to her friends, many
sure.
years before in a summer stock production of Kiss Me, Kate.
Right.
She may not have been quite the star she used to be, but she was still a fiery dame. Mm-hmm. She was wild, to say the least, and that was one crazy summer. Let me tell you, a summer I'll never forget. It was actually Lauren who had given me the third elbow. After a painful arm wrestling match one night after the show, I assume she had the hots for me, especially the night she broke my arm. But whether she did or didn't, she always made me feel a bit unbalanced.
Yes, and still does. There's a slight...
Lauren Bacall went with you?
Well, there's a little bit of a yes, and she actually she taught me how to smoke up at about 25,000 feet up.
Sure.
And there's a slight romantic past inferred there, that a little Harold and Maude thing that went on between the two of us. She came along, Tony Danza. Came along, and I brought him along basically because I thought for security reasons, but he ended up just singing show tunes all the way up to the summit.
And did he go by the character named Tony? Just so he didn't get confused?
He did. Yeah, he made sure he had a little name tag that said Tony. Martin Sheen came along, and he, in the book, actually thinks he's the president.
Oh, really?
And then Michael Moore filmed the whole thing with a giant IMAX camera, and I basically have to haul him all the way up to the summit.
Yeah, there's a lot of references to Michael Moore's large posterior.
Uh-huh. Well, you know—
You weren't that happy about having to haul his large posterior.
I don't know why I had to. For some reason, it was me.
Well, Michael Moore was probably just hoping that President Bush was trying to keep you from making the top. He was going to finally expose the truth.
That's right. Well, he does point the finger at some of the big companies that are exploiting the Himalayas nowadays, like, you know, Ron Popeil.
Now, lest anyone think we're serious, just for the record.
Okay. She's such a newsman.
We are a news organization, Chris.
That is true.
You did not go and climb Mount Everest with any of these people.
I didn't, but, you know, I did. They did fly me over up to base camp for that cover photo on the book, and that's when I got frostbite. Everybody that goes there comes back missing a nose.
Have
you noticed that?
Yeah.
And that actually, that does play into the plot of the book.
I'm going to be really a little bit lame and ask you this question high up in the interview.
Sure.
We put some questions on our blog. We said, hey, you have something you want to ask Chris Elliott? And this question's as good as any I have.
Good.
It's from a guy named Will G. He writes, why as a comedian did you feel the need to write this novel? Was there something deep in your soul that compelled you to put your comedic talents to pen?
Well, I have sort of been putting my comedic talents to pen for about 25 years, which some people don't realize that I actually started as a writer for Late Night with David Letterman and have been
writing.
Wait,
Panicky Guy was scripted?
Yes, it was. Some fine work there. My early work. This is actually my third book. And it's my second novel. My first one was called The Shroud of the Thwacker. And that was a historical crime thriller that took place in New York City in the 1800s. But I did no research on the time period at all. And while I was writing that, I happened to glance up at my bookshelf and I saw Into Thin Air. And I thought, oh, it might be funny to put me on Everest. And so that became my second novel.
But Steve Martin writes books. You write books. Is this comedians trying to be taken seriously? Get the Barnes & Noble tour?
Not me. My stuff is essentially an extension of what I've been doing on TV and in the movies for 25 years. I'm basically in these books. I put myself in these books, but it's the persona that I sort of developed back at Letterman. And no, I don't take them seriously. I want people, you know, when they read my books, to put them down and then, you know, wonder why they bought them.
To put Elliot's through college, little Elliot's.
that ain't doing it.
This is interesting. In doing some research, I thought this was sort of a convergence of events. We're public radio.
Right.
You started, one of your very first jobs was in public TV at PBS as a PA.
Yeah.
And then a writer's strike helped you get on to Letterman.
You have done research.
All right, explain the story.
I think that was like in 82 or 81 was the writer's strike that, somebody was sort of moonlighting from NBC, came over and worked at PBS during the writer's strike, a producer, and he happened to know that this new show was developing and got me an interview for it, which was eventually Late Night with David Letterman. I had met Dave a year before I was working at PBS I was a tour guide at Rockefeller Center, and I was up selling tickets up at the observation deck, and he at 30 Rock, and he came up with his mother. So I charged him the kiddie fare because he was with his mom, and that tickled him. And when this person at PBS had set up this interview for me, Dave walked into the interview and remembered me. So that's how I got hired at Letterman.
What were you doing at PBS?
Having
the image of a
young
Chris
Elliott. I was a graphics coordinator for a show called Inside Story with Hodding Carter. And so I was like getting
hilarious.
It was really a barrel of laughs. That's really where I broke my chops in comedy. And I, you know, getting a lot of AP photos and stock footage and that sort of thing. And I almost didn't take the job at Late Night because it was $100 less than what I was making at PBS. I was hired I had a nice title at PBS as a graphics coordinator, but Late Night was offering me a runner at $200 a week, and I had been making $300 at PBS, so it took a lot of soul searching to leave my promising PBS career.
So you take the leap of faith, you head over to 30 Rock, to the Peacock Network. Did you have aspirations to be on the air at the time? Like, all of a sudden, you're there, you're in the building, the lights, the footlights.
Well, that did happen to me, but I didn't have those thoughts when I first went there. I think my goal was to maybe use it as a stepping stone to get to Saturday Night Live as a writer. But right away, Dave took a liking to me and kind of fostered my persona and encouraged me to get on TV and do goofy stuff. And he kind of basically took me under his wing. And, you know, obviously this was before he had a son of his own. He put me on actually the first show. And from then on, I started to write little jokes and hand them under the table to him. And he used a couple. And I think about 2 or 3 years into the show, they made me a writer, and then I just wrote myself into the show.
Did you write the Marlon Brando skits?
Yeah, Adam Resnick and I did those together. Adam is my best friend in the world, and we started writing those, and I think I'm responsible for bringing Brando out of his shell the last 10 years of his life.
For those of you who've never had this experience to hear Chris Elliott as Marlon Brando on Letterman, we're going to take care of that right now you.
Oh, no.
Let's listen.
A dog is a cat,
uh-huh.
And a cat eats fish.
Right.
Fish swim, and I swim in a lake with my dog Dutchie, and uh-huh. I've got a headache, and man is an ape, and an ape is a
Marlon,
man, and when you
Marlon,
wear a wig, you get sweat.
Marlon,
and you
you're drifting.
And you,
Marlon.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I haven't slept in 6 days.
Why is that?
Your snoring keeps me awake all night. I got him with a jab, a zinger. I'm a comedy porcupine.
You gotta love YouTube.
Well, it's a love-hate relationship with me. Yeah, it is. It's kind of hard to actually hear some of that stuff again. You know, the thing with that show was that it was never the intent to necessarily be funny when I went out, just so you know. It was always just to make Dave laugh. And whether or not the audience laughed or not, you know, was secondary. And when I look back on it, I think a lot of the things I did 9 times out of 10 just sort of played kind of like that just played. But, you know, I think at the end of the week, people look back and they thought, well, it was still different. Nobody had been doing that kind of stuff. So I got credit for that.
When we talk about doing things that are a little bit different, Get a Life was a series that you wrote on, you started, and it kind of has a cult following. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it has more of a following than we ever thought it would have. I mean, when that show was on the air, we had no idea that people were watching, and we just assumed that the few that were hated the show.
I want to play a clip from David Merkin, who's the executive producer.
Please don't.
Interview, a DVD of the show.
No.
Chris Elliott, this
not
is your life.
Let's play that.
The show is purposely so sarcastic and sort of angrily dripping by at most sitcoms. It was our reaction of being inundated by sitcoms that were full of a lot of sickly sweet.
Cecil B. DeMille.
And so, you know, it really offended a lot of development people on very deep levels, where they remembered years later,
Get
a Life, No Get a Life, and all of us worked on the show.
When did you put out those DVDs?
We're always suspect.
That's really interesting.
I've never seen a commentary to the commentary.
Wow. That's my favorite thing that's happened all week.
Well, I think that kind of says it all.
That does say it all.
Adam Resnick and I actually have done the commentary on the whole first season of the show, not these things that were put out a few years ago. And for some reason, they haven't been put out yet, but hopefully they will.
I look forward to it after that commentary.
You're
that
sensing
fantastic.
A little something in the air, aren't
I
you,
am
Allison?
Sensing a little something. That experience did not end well with this person?
Well, it didn't end well all around, actually. Fox in general just was not crazy about the show right from the start. Adam and I created the show, and then they wanted to bring in somebody they could call a showrunner who also got a creative credit.
Isn't Hollywood great?
No, it's not. That's why I live on the East Coast.
There you go. We're talking to Chris Elliott. His new book is called Into Hot Air, Mounting Mount Everest. Again, we have another one of our listeners, Chris Elliott fan, who wants to know, my favorite Chris Elliott role was the one you did on Raymond. How much of that character's weirdness was in the script? How much came from you?
A lot of it was in the script, but it was about half and half. You know, I was not the first person who did that part. It was actually Paul Rubens, Pee-wee Herman, did it once. And then there was a little, something happening in his career there for a little while. And, a guy like me, you have to hope for those things because then I got a call to see if from Phil Rosenthal, who I had known, to see if I wanted to step in and do it. And I did. And I wasn't sure it was going to work at first because I am so odd and I'm such an acquired taste. But that show is so classy, was always classy to me, and injecting me into it seemed odd, but I guess for that reason it worked.
It's interesting. You said you were on book tour. We were talking a little bit, but off air, not to be too obnoxious to talk about what we were talking about off air.
Off
but
you've been in-house. Though.
In-house, though.
Yeah.
So on the record.
Sure.
That you've been on book tour for a while, and you tonight you're actually going to sign books at Columbus Circle, the Borders there.
Yeah.
What's been the weirdest encounter you've had? Because I can imagine there must be some Chris Elliott fans out there who are interesting.
Until I started writing these books, I didn't realize who my fans were. I did TV and movies, but I never did stand up. So I was expecting when I started on these book tours just to see, a bunch of teenagers and high school students and college students, because that's who in the back of my mind I still think is my audience. And the first event I went to, it was all, big, bald, fat guys, that like me. And I realized, well, everybody's aged with me. So it's a humbling experience, actually, to put a book out come face to face with your fans, but I have to say I appreciate them, and I haven't really had anything bizarre happen to me yet. Everybody will say that they have people come up and ask you to sign various parts of their bodies, and that's never happened to me.
You have to join KISS, I think. That's Chris Elliott, thank you so much for coming to the studio
Allison,
today.
Thanks.
Have a terrific holiday.
Thanks.
The book
too.
Is Into Hot Air, Mounting Mount Everest. Would you sign my book?
Oh, you bet.
All right.